Last Advent, you may remember that we started our sermon series for the two penitential seasons, the strong times, or tempi forti, on the opening prayers of the Mass, the collects, which collect the themes of the day. We looked at the collects for the ordinary and extraordinary forms of the Roman Rite, as well as the collects from the Anglican liturgical tradition, partially because many of them were drawn from Catholic liturgical sources and are also masterpieces of the English language. You may also remember that we talked about the stational church, from the Latin word statio, to stop, because the Pope would traditionally stop to celebrate Mass in a particular church in Rome on certain days and on all of the days of Lent. And so now we turn to the collects for the Sundays of the Lenten season. The first Sunday of Lent starts out with the Pope celebrating Mass in his own cathedral church, St. John Lateran. Ash Wednesday and the days before this first Sunday were added centuries after Lent became a thing. So the primitive observance has the Pope starting the Lenten fast in the seat of his authority, where he would return to celebrate the great Paschal Vigil at the end of the fast. Through the yearly observances of Holy Lent, may we grow in understanding of the riches hidden in Christ and by worthy conduct pursue their effects. In the ordinary form prayer, note that Lent is qualified with the adjective holy. It's not just any kind of time. It is set apart, which is the original sense of the biblical Hebrew word kadosh, which we render as holy in English. It's a healing time decreed by the influence of the Holy Ghost on the church to reconcile sinners to God through the grace of conversion. And Lent is made up of observances, of specific things we choose to do individually, and things we as an entire church community do. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And those spiritual disciplines, well, they're a means to an end. They're not some kind of endurance test to see if we can get through it all. Through them, the church, we grow. We become more and more and greater than we were when we start Lent. Not in some kind of prideful sense, but in a qualitative sense. What do we grow in exactly? Understanding, which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, but not any old kind of understanding, but the understanding of the riches hidden in Christ. Now, of course, I know that you know that Lent is a time to prepare the catechumen for all the baptized, to renew the grace of that sacrament. And baptism initiates us into what anthropologists of religion call a mystery cult. The ancient world was filled with certain religions that used the imparting of knowledge by initiation rites into a community that was not like other religious communities, and based on a particular form of cult, in this sense, meaning worship. Christianity is, from that view, a mystery cult. Catholic worship is suffused with the divinely revealed Word of God in the Bible and lives through the seven life-giving sacraments, which are in Greek called mysteria. Mysteries. The prayer recognizes that these observances, like the sacramental life of the church, it's all fruitful, right? They actually do something, right? They produce effects. The sacraments produce the effects that they signify. Baptism signifies purification with water, and it actually makes that happen, right? And the disciplines lived in faith cause the effect of increasing sanctifying grace in the soul. Our conduct, our behavior modeled on the life of Christ as we develop the virtues by engaging these spiritual disciplines of Lent, that conduct is rendered worthy by Christ, who restores his image and likeness in us by the free gift of grace. Our entire Lenten why is contained in this prayer. We do certain things during Lent, and God transforms us into walking reflections of himself in the world. In our extraordinary form, we prayed just a few minutes ago, O God, who purifies thy church by the yearly observance of Lent, grant that by good works thy household may achieve the grace their self-denial seeks to win from thee. The we of the ordinary form prayer isn't just any old we. Here it is the we who belong to the church. The observance of Lent purifies the church. And this is a very important recognition. Remember, first of all, whenever we sin not only against God and ourselves, but against the whole body of Christ. And just as the entire body of Christ is involved in the person of the priest at the absolution during confession, in reconciling the individual to Christ and his mystical body, Lent is a time when we're all together in a common time of making whole, new, and bright again, which is why the Eastern Church often calls Lent the bright sadness. What a tremendous way of putting it, the bright sadness. The church emphasizes that we are a household, a family, and we're all in this together. Those good works that are prayer, fasting, and almsgiving are offerings we freely give up to God so that by denying ourselves, we may have the space in our hearts for God to give us his grace and love. Thomas Cranmer, the Anglican Archbishop of Canterbury, wrote a magnificent collect for his 1549 Book of Common Prayer. O Lord, which for our sake didst fast 40 days and 40 nights, give us grace to use such abstinence, that our flesh being subdued to the Spirit, we may ever obey thy godly motions in righteousness and true holiness to thy honor and glory. He quite rightly connects our abstinence and fast of 40 days with that of Jesus in the desert. He also points out that by the mortification of penance, our flesh becomes subdued to the Spirit. That submission indicates humility and produces the effect of obedience, justification, and holiness. But all of that isn't for us. It is principally for the honor and glory of God, who we thank by this penitential modeling after Jesus in the desert for offering his own fast, and indeed his very own flesh and blood, life and limb for us in our place. Pope Benedict XVI in 2008 preached about the almsgiving aspect of our Lenten journey as a specific way to assist those in need, and at the same time, an exercise in self-denial to free us from attachment to worldly goods. The force of attraction to material riches and just how categorical our decision must be not to make of them an idol, Jesus confirms in a resolute way. You cannot serve God and mammon. Almsgiving helps us to overcome this constant temptation, teaching us to respond to our neighbor's needs and to share with others whatever we possess through divine goodness. This is the aim of the special collections in favor of the poor, which are promoted during Lent in many parts of the world. In this way, inward cleansing is accompanied by a gesture of ecclesial communion. There's a lot in that quote of Benedict, right? Lent is not just about you and Jesus, right? It's about all of us together in this journey towards the Paschal feast, together becoming more who we are in Christ Jesus. And that means we have to do it together, right? Even as we do individual things as well. This Sunday, as we continue this pilgrimage towards Jerusalem, let us not be afraid to be generous with our prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, more so than we have any other year. Are you going to make this Lent different, or is it going to be same old, same old? And by the time you get about 8 or 9 days into Lent, you're like, well, I done messed up again, right? Be generous with the Lord, with prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Yes, your knees and back may hurt after being in church services for a long time. You're not going to die if you don't have that extra cookie, right? And your bank account, I guarantee you, will replenish itself at the right time and in the right place. Whenever we give freely, we lean on the providential care of God who takes care of all of our needs, but if we hold on to it, we have our hands not uplifted in prayer and praise, but just creating the anxiety that destroys us. We know that we're all in it together, and the Lord will purify His church as a family of faith to the extent that we do not count the cost of pouring ourselves out in self-denial so that we can be filled with the infinite riches of divine love.